The topic for today is really the second half of Libun, which is Libun without water, what I like to call dry cleaning. But there's a just one thing I wanted to review. It's really a review because we did it in Dash, which is cleaning with water. One aspect of cleaning with water, which we didn't mention last time, which is squeezing water. If you squeeze water out of a beged, so there is a famous distinction that Rabbeinu Tam has in Tosfos and Shabbos and elsewhere, that there are two isurim in squeezing a beged from water. One is dosh, and one is a told of melabein. And Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes that if it's water, then it can only be, then it's melabein. If it's any other liquid, it could even be dosh. But malabin is specifically with water, and even if I don't need the water at the end, if it's a cleansing liquid, then it would be malabin to squeeze a beged from water that's within it. But if it's any other liquid that's not cleansing, like wine, then there would be no prohibition of malabin. It would only have to tend to the dush aspect. However, the Ri, quoted by Tosas, disagrees, and he says, even by sharmashkim there is malabin. So that's always an issue whenever you have a beggar that has any water in it, any type of liquid in it, squeezing it out, even if it's not a cleansing liquid, we are generally machmir for that machlokas harishonim, either because there is melabim by sharmashkim or because there's an issue of schita. Even if I don't need the liquid which is being squeezed out, other rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam on that point, that even if I don't need the liquid which is being squeezed out, it's still dosh. So squeezing a beggar from any liquid is either dosh or melabim, maybe both.
If it's water, it's only
malabin
and not dush?
No, it could even be dush, but I have to need the water. Whereas if I'm squeezing out a liquid and I don't need it, then it can't be dush, because I don't need the juice which is being squeezed out. But other Rishonim disagree with that on that point, and they say even if you don't need what's being squeezed out, it's still dush. Shechita le'ibud. And as a corollary to that, there are two Isur Midrabanan, which we mentioned at the time. One is that you're not allowed to make a beged wet. And one, that you're not allowed to carry a wet beged. It was wet already, or I made it wet in a permissible way, and now I want to carry it from place to place. You're not allowed to carry it from place to place. But both of those isurim, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if it's a beged, which I'm not machbed al meimav, let's say a kid is playing in the snow, like on Shabbos, and he gets his clothing all sopping wet. Now he walks inside, his mother says, what did you do to your clothes? And that's a beged, which is machbed al meimav. It's not normally supposed to be wet. And I would wring it out if it was. So then you're not allowed to make it wet. But let's say I have a towel, which I'm drying my hands on. So I'm not machbed al meimav. My towel is wet sometimes, and that's just the way I leave it. So then, okay. So then we're not afraid you're going to squeeze it out, because it sometimes sits while it's wet. And nobody bothers to squeeze it out. That's only if it's machbed al meimav. If it's a beg at the... that's correct. So you have to avoid that problem of Shiyos HaZeo Kibuso. But if you get out of the problem of Shiyos HaZeo Kibuso, like it's Derech Lichluch, like drying my hands on a towel, then it wouldn't be an issue. Also, if it's only a little bit of water, it's Ma'at Maim, it's not a lot, so then we assume you're not going to bother squeezing it out. So a kid plays outside in the snow and his pants don't get sopping wet, they just get a little damp. We wouldn't assume that that's a person might come to squeeze it out. But moving along to the more of the topic of today, is the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, if I have a talus which has dust or dirt on it, if you shake out the talus, Mena'er Taliso is Chayv Chatos Mishum Melaben. But the Gemara says that that is only under three conditions. Number one, it has to be new. Number two, it has to be dark. And number is shachar, black. Number three is that it has to be makbid. I can't want to, if the way the dust is here, I wouldn't wear the garment normally like that. That's makbid. But Rashi and the Tosfos have a very important machlokas as to what is exactly is going on here. Rashi says, yes, to clean a beged from dust, is, which is embedded in the garment, is melabin. Normally melabin is with water, and this is melabin without water. And Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananu, who disagrees, that we're talking about where it's wet, from tau. It doesn't mean dust. It means that there's some sort of moist dirt on it. Not necessarily, yeah. Tau, it's from the dew. Because you have to have liquid. You can't have cleaning. You can't have melabim without a liquid. And these are two opinions. One, the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, that it's only if there's a liquid. And the Ramah quotes Rashi, that even if there's no liquid, to take dust off a garment would be melabim. And the Ramah recommends to be machmir for Rashi. So if you have a garment that gets dirt on it, to shake it out would be melabim, because we're machmir like Rashi.
I don't know. If they would hold that it's mutter, could you ask a Sephardi to clean off your...
I don't know. A larger topic. It's with everything.
Would there be a
Dirabanan even if you're not Mahmoud Rashi? No. If you're not Mahmoud Rashi, it's mutter, because there's no Malabim without water. It's either Chayv or mutter. What is called a new garment? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim that it has to... It doesn't mean I just took the tags off. It means if it still looks new. Doesn't look faded out or anything like that. But the Be'er Halacha quotes from the Yaras Dvash that we're not sure what exactly, where to draw the line, so it should be Machmer and all the Begadim. Every Beged is near Bo Chidusho. But the Mishnah Berurah already says himself he's not so convinced of that Chumra of the Yaras Dvash. We'll get back to that in a minute. So that's Tanai number one. It has to be new. What exactly is called new is somewhat of a discussion. The Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa discusses what's called black. So he says it doesn't mean specifically black. It means any dark color. But most of the discussion becomes mute because of Chiddush that the Bir Halacha has. The Aruch HaShulchan is the same thing. That the whole discussion in the Gemara of the three conditions, Makbid, Shachar, and Chadati, the fact that it should be new, is only if Bistam, I don't know if I'm Makbid. I might be Makbid, I might not be Makbid, but I'm certainly not Makbid. Meaning, I had to use the double negative, you can't say I'm not Makbid. Could be I am, could be I'm not. It's Bistam. That's what the Gemara means by Makbid. It means, I don't know, I can't tell you I'm not Makbid. But if I know for sure I am Makbid, I would never wear my hat with the dust that's on it, or a jacket that has dust all over it, so then you can't, then it doesn't make a difference whether it's black, white, gray, or old, faded. It doesn't make a difference. Makbid can trump the other ones. What is called Makbid, though? Let's say during the week people walk around sometimes with dust on the bottom of their pants, especially in Eretz Yisrael where it's much more dusty. But in Shabbos, they wouldn't do that. So the Mishnah Berurah again says that no, it has to be Makbid during the week. Makbid on Shabbos doesn't count. That's not called Makbid. However, is there any way to clean a beggar then on Shabbos at all? So the and that chumra of Rashi again, there's machlokes between Rabbeinu Hananel and Rashi. Does it only mean dust? Does it only mean with liquid or even with no liquid? Then the Ramah is machmer like Rashi. So the Mishnah Berurah says, since really the Rabbeinu Hananel holds it to mutter, and we're machmer for Rashi. So if a person gets stuck and there's a covered abrios issue, let's say his hat falls in the dust as he's walking to shul, and now he's going to come to shul and his hat will have the dust marks all over it. So it's going to be covered abrios issue. You could be meiko kalachar yad. I'm sorry, ayidei nachri. If there's a nachri around, you could ask the nachri to do it. The Bir Halacha says, when he's talking about the chumra of the Yaras Dvash, what's called new, what's called not new, he says you could use kalachar yad. Says, you know what, the whole thing of what's called new, what's called not new, so we're machmir by every beggar that it should be called new. Well, if it's kalachar yad, you don't have to be machmir. But what about the other case? What about if I drop my hat and there's no nachri around? So can I wipe it with my shirt sleeve to clean the hat or a jacket, something like that, to wipe it with the kalachar yad? So that the Bir Halacha doesn't sound like he's willing to give in on that. But in the book, The Shabbos Home, quotes from one of the later Acharonim that you can do that. If a person gets stuck and as he drops his hat, let's say, in the dust, and he's walking with a jacket or whatever, and gets trampled in shul, and then you come in the bottom of the pile, oh, that's my jacket, so then what are you going to do? Cover the brio, so you could clean a kalachar yad. There is a famous story that they say, I think they say it in Baltimore, in the name of Rabbi Ruderman, that a guy was walking to shul, I forgot where I heard this story, a guy was walking to Davin and Yeshiva, and his hat dropped, in that dust pile, and it came to shul, his hat looks disgusting, So he said to Rabbi Ruderman, it's covered up brios, can he clean it, the hat, in any way? And Rabbi Ruderman said, no, it's covered up. He said it's not covered Shabbos. So Rabbi Ruderman said, no, other Rabbi, covered Shabbos is to walk around with a dirty hat to show everybody the halacha. You're not allowed to clean a hat if it falls down. So he's clearly assuming that you're not allowed to rub it kalachar yad. The Rama says if you have notzos, thorns, a person's walking next to a bush and he gets thorns on his jacket, those are just, they're not really stuck in the bag. If they're on top, you could pull those off. So that's the discussion. A lot of people, unfortunately, have some sort of a dandruff that gets on their jacket. So can you brush that off on Shabbos or not? So the Torah Hamalachos, which is one of the newer Svarim on Shabbos, says that if it blows off, you could blow it off too. I just decided to use my hand to go like that. But I could have blown it off. So that's surface. It's not embedded. Only if I have to rub it like this, then that might be called embedded.
That doesn't require total real
skin body.
Anything that will...
No, yes, it's on top. That's not the whole discussion doesn't get off the ground. Shmuel Shabbos Kolchasa discusses, and the Dayan Weiss discuss, what about, not vacuuming, but they have these non-electric carpet sweepers. They pick dirt off the carpet. So you're cleaning the carpet by doing that. So they held it's usher because of Malabane, because the dust is embedded in the carpet. One could say that all that dust is called surface. It's on the top, like the Rama says by the notzos. It's all on top. So maybe it should be permissible. But in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, it's not a la Torah, but on Shulchan Aruch, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and they quote like that from Ramosha as well, writes that even though it's, the stuff is all on top, it's of the Dechol. Shouldn't do it on Shabbos. What of the Dechol? Because normally vacuuming during the week involves some sort of malacha, some sort of iser. So I do, even though I do it on Shabbos in a permissible way, it's still of the Dechol.
What about the table ones? You know, the little ones that you
take the crumbs? Yeah. Nah, that's nothing. Fancy. Okay. The Rama says similarly by raincoats. The Rama says to wipe off, let's say if a rain person comes in from the rain and he wants to shake off his coat from the rain. So the Rama says, that's for sure Aser. That, even the Rabbeinu Chananel would say that's Aser. You don't need Rashi's Chumrah. And there's no difference between black, whatever, because you're makbid. Nobody wants a wet, sopping wet raincoat. You wouldn't put it on normally like that. But if it's made from plastic, so we assume everything sits on the top. You're not cleaning the plastic, so you're going to have to shake out a poncho or something like that. And Yana de Yoma, there's a bir halacha there about snow. If a person gets snow on his jacket, can he brush it off? So he says, as long as it hasn't started melting yet. As it melted, it's all on top. That's like the notzos. Then you could shake it off. Once it starts to melt, it becomes like the towel, and you can't shake it to get the water off. So you should do a pakal, he says. Shake it a little bit, and only the snow will fall off, not the liquid. It's a whole eight on it. No, plastic is not. Plastic is.
It's like a fabric.
Yeah, if it's a fabric, raincoat, yeah. So that's the first discussion of cleaning without water, which is the cleaning from the Menar Taliso. There's a Gemara earlier in Shabbos, in Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, if a person gets mud, dirt, on his, let's say, pants, so you can be Makaskes Bifnim. That, what does that mean? That means I take the two inside sides of the pants and rub them together to get the dirt off. But I can't rub the outside sides together. Because that looks like malabane. Inside, it doesn't look like malabane. It looks like, I don't know what it looks like, but it doesn't look like malabane. Rashi says, why is all this mutter? Because the only time there's malabane is if you have water. Here, it's all dry dirt. So there's no malabane without water, and that's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Zayin. The other halacha was Sif Aleph, in Shin Beis. This is all in Shin Beis. One halacha was that halacha was Sif Aleph, this halacha was Sif Zayin. That since it only looks like malabane, it's only usher if I do it from the outside side, it's not from the inside side. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the Gilyan Hashas asks, what is Rashi talking about? There's only Malabain if there's water. He just said, Amenar Talisos, Chayv Chatos, even though there was no water. And all of a sudden here he says there's no Malabain without water. It's a contradiction. He leaves off Betzarachin. It's a major problem. So I don't know why it had to wait till the Sharetzion, but the Sharetzion quotes from the Achronim that there's a difference. Let's start there. Menar Taliso, that I get rid of the dust, so then there's nothing left. There's no mark. You can't tell, Kilohaya, that there was dust on this jacket or dust on this hat. But when a person cleans it from the mud, so then there's always a residual mark. You know, there's a black stain, a brown stain. You can always tell there was something there. So since there's a residual stain, that only looks over, then it's not Malabin. It only looks like Malabin. If I do it Mibifnim, that's okay. It's only if I could get rid of it entirely. It's dust. Once I brush it off, there's nothing there. That's Doraisa. Shulchan Aruch says this is only by wet mud. But if it has hardened, then now you're going to take it off, so there's tochein. Let's say a guy gets his whole thing caked in mud, and now he's going to scratch it off, so that's grinding the mud. But the Taz says that if I... the Taz says, but what if there's only a stain? There's no real mamushus there. It's just like, you know, stain the garment, but there's no mamushus of tit there. So then you could wipe it off and clean it entirely. Because there's no tochen. So Mr. Brewer says, what are you talking about? He says, other rabba. The fact that tochen is the least of your problems. Now you have malabain. Because even though there's no mamushus of tit there, there's no mamushus of dirt, which I'm grinding, the fact that I just cleaned the garment and there's no stain left at all, that's nothing. That's a menar talis, a menar avok, that abchayv chatos. It just became a Doraisa. So he wages a homo chemis mitzvah against this Taz that says that if there's no mamashos, so then you're better off. He says, no, if you could get rid of the stain entirely, that's the worst possible thing. So in the Bir Halacha, he continues his milchama, and he goes a long Bir Halacha attacking this Taz. And he says, clearly, even there you can have melabein, even if there is... no water involved, as long as I'm a sock in the beged. If there's a stain, so there's no tikkun on beged. True, I got rid of the mamushes of dirt, but there's always a stain. So that's not called a real tikkun of the beged. But if I have been a sock in the beged, so then it would be a problem. And he quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Mem and Aleph. The Gemara there says that if I have all their garments, when they were washed, came out hard. We have fabric softeners, so it doesn't happen, but... when you wash a garment in water, so it comes out hard. So they would crumple it up to make it softer. That was viewed as a tikkun. So the Gemara says you can do that. You can't do that on Shabbos if it's a chaluk, if it's a sudar, if it's something which is a handkerchief, because that makes it more useful. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So why, even though there's no water there and there's no dirt there and there's no nothing there, the Bi'al Lacha says, you see, that if any tikkun I do to the beged, even if I just crumple it up, that's some sort of tikkun to the beged, so then that would be malabin. Apologize for the disturbances. Yeah, crazy. Grand Central Station here. Anyway, so you see, any type of tikkun, there is a... there's malabin. Then the Bir Halacha quotes a Meshulta Yigibarim, and this is important. He quotes a Meshulta Yigibarim who asks on the Rabbeinu Hanano. Rabbeinu Hanano says, again, there's no malabin unless you have water. He says, if I just wipe off the dust, there's no malabin. I need to have towel there. So yes, how could you say that? But the Gemara says, I'm a kaske, it says a sudar. If the sudar comes out of the laundry and it's hard and I soften it up, that's malabin. Because I fixed it a little bit. So anytime you fix a beged a little bit, that's malabin. So he says, how come when I wipe the dust off, that's worse than crumpling the beged? Again, Rabbeinu Hananel says, just wiping dust off, that's garnish. There's no water. And over here, there is water. Here, nobody disagrees. The Gemara says, Makaskes is chayiv, is usher. It's not chayiv, but it's usher. So Shulchan Yibarim says, no, here it's different. Because here I did a maisa niyu. I did a major maisa. I didn't just wipe dust off like that. I did it vigorously. I'm a Makaskes. I rubbed them together. So Bir Halacha says that under all circumstances, let's say going back to the dust case, let's say it's even for the Benu Hanano, who's matir the dust, to wipe the dust off, if I do it with a brush or I do it very vigorously, that's always aser. So even in the cases where it is permissible, let's say it's on top, let's say a person has like little dust particles on his hat, but in order to get it off, he uses a hat brush. Or a person has a little things that are on top of his jacket, but he uses a fancy dust remover, you know, from the Sharper Image or something. So that's a major maisa. So that's aser under all circumstances.
But Rabbi Nachman would say that's Darabanan as opposed
to... Darabanan as opposed to Daraisa, correct, indeed.
Rashi would say that's...
And probably. No, if it's on top, so it's surface, it's permissible. But, right, but if you use a brush, it might make it much worse.
Rashi would say about the Makaskis that it...
I mean, there I did a real Maisa Libun. Whenever I do Maisa Libun, it's also Midrabanan. It's also Midrabanan. Maisa Libun is also Midrabanan.
But for Rashi, it's not there, right?
For Rashi, if I have dust which is embedded, it'd be Daraisa. If I have dust which is on top, surface dust like Notzos, the thorns, or dandruff, it could just blow off, you know, it comes off, that's surface, that's not Malami.
But the softening of the Beged for Rashi.
That's the Rabbanan also. Everyone agrees that's the Rabbanan.
So you're deriving from the Gibor and Teretz for Rabbanan, but any Kli is...
Any type of vigorous melabin or any type of more proactive libun other than just wiping is that's the Bialacha says is melabin midrabanan, because you're doing a maisa libun even though I'm not cleaning it. It's a maisa libun, like finishing off the kiskos of the of that hard handkerchief is a maisa libun. So that's also midrabanan. A lot of details. The Mishnah says in Shabbos that if I have a beged that needs to be folded, I can fold it only if I need it for that day. If I only need it for tomorrow, that's hachana. It's the same Mishnah which talks about making beds today for tomorrow. That's all hachana, says the Mishnah. So Tosfos there writes that when a person's davening in shul, if he wears a talis, then he can't fold up the talis, because that's going to be used for the next day. So it's hachana. But it sounds like from the Gemara that the only issue in folding begadim is hachana. I'm sorry, it sounds like from the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, no, it's not true. This whole discussion is only talking about where there's one person folding it. If I have two people folding, let's say, a tablecloth, so we stretch it out, and the folding is much more intensive. And it's only if it's new. Where the fold, if it's an old garment, the Gemara assumes that the folding makes it look much better. If it's a brand new garment, anytime I fold it, it's not going to look as good as it. I mean, it's not fixing the beged; the creases are still fresh. And it's only if it's white. I'm sorry, it's only mutter if it's white. If it's beged savua, so then again, the Gemara assumes folding accomplishes a great deal. So the Gemara says it's only permissible. It's only a problem. You only have to fend with the hachana issue if it's, but otherwise, if it's white and new. But if it's tzavua or old, not only do I have a hachana issue of folding a talis, I would have a libun issue. Because when you fold a garment, you kind of fix the beged a little bit. It's smoother and less wrinkly or whatever. So you need three, in order to, so God, but let's say I'm going to use it on Shabbos. So I'm going to use it again. So it's only mutter if it's white and new.
Or new?
White and new. White and new. Anywhere it says I have no other talus. If I have another beged, which I could have used instead of using this one, so you're not allowed to, even under those circumstances, you're not allowed to do it. And this is all quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa points out that we don't really understand the difference between Beged Savua and Beged Lovin. It was probably just limited to their begadim, so he throws away the Beged Savua, Beged Lovin distinction, because all of our begadim seem to be the same. So it has to be new, and the fact that I need it on Shabbos. But then the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mordechai, and this is what's most practical, that this is only usur. It's only usur to fold a beged. A mishum hachana, b mishum milabein, if I fold it along the creases. Keseder kipulo harishon. But if I fold it not along the creases, or not in its normal way, along the creases, but not the right side of the crease, the other side, then that is mutter. Okay, so you would say mutter mishum milabein. Okay, so it's not milabein. Still hachana. I'm doing something on Shabbos, which is not for today, it's for tomorrow. So Chai Adam says, yes, it's only it's not malabin, it's still hachana. You can't fold the talis bichlal because it's for the next day. The rest of the posts disagree with the Chai Adam. The Rabbah and Rov Achronim disagree with the Chai Adam and hold, no, it's not hachana either. It's only hachana, it's only malabin if I do it in the normal way. Keseder kipulo harishon. But if I fold it in a not normal way, it's totally permissible on Shabbos. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person takes off, when he takes off his talis after davening, he can fold it in a different way. Just don't fold it on the creases. Or on the creases, but not the right side of the crease. The Mishnah Berurah does quote the Machatzis HaShekel that, you know what, better not to fold it at all. Rumple it up into a ball. But and he says, I think a Machmer Tavo of Bracha. But I don't know if that's... I think most people fold it just... Shelo Keseder Kipulo Harishon. We rely on the Mordechai quoted by the Shulchan Aruch.
Is that like even if one of the folds is not the same, or they all have to be different? Let's say you fold it in four directions. So as long as
no, I think they all have to be. Yeah, the first one at least. The first one. Otherwise, that fold was considered Ketulah Rishon. Certainly, the first. I would think even the once you do the first wrong, I assume you won't even have the option of doing the later ones.
Right.
The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes from the Marsham. The Marsham is a sefer on running commentary on Shulchan Aruch called Das Torah. And the Marsham says, yeah, but you have to refold it Motzei Shabbos. Why? Because then that just became Seder Kipulo. So next Shabbos, when I want to fold it again in the not normal way, I'm going to fold it again backwards from the creases. Yeah, but that just became... That's just now, that's the way it's folded, is not on the creases. So after Shabbos is done, I have to refold it, assuming it's a Shabbos talus. Otherwise, the next day I'll refold it. But if it's only my Shabbos talus, and now I'm going to, because the next Shabbos it'll also be Shelo Al Seder Kipuah Rishon. So now, when I come to refold it after that davening, so that's the Nimsa, that is Kipulo. Everyone follow what I'm saying? So you have to...
Both are Kipulo.
Right. No.
You can put it back the original way?
You can't put it back the original way, no.
So both are,
right. So he says, what is 1/8 is to fold it a different way every time. If you don't want to refix it on Matzei Shabbos. But, however, the Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa quotes an interesting svara from Shlomo Zalman that no, since it's never as good as the real folding, that can never be called Seder Kipulo. Seder Kipulo means the way the creases go. I don't know, after a while of doing backwards and forwards, it seems that you'll see in your own talis, it kind of, you lose Kipulo Arishon, and then it's unclear exactly what's going on. It's an interesting discussion, though. The Piskei Chuvos has a discussion between this classical Achron called the Tehillah of David, and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, and his Shalos and Chuvos called Salmas Chaim, about what if I only have a Shabbos talus? Can I fold it? Maybe the Tehillah David says that Hachana mishabbos l'Shabbos is aser, so I can't fold it on the creases for next Shabbos because Hachana mishabbos l'Shabbos is aser. And the Salmas Chaim, Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, says it's mutter. Hachana mishabbos l'Shabbos is mutter. So he says you can fold your talus. A talus, look, a talus is a white beged. You don't even have to get involved in the distinction. It's white, black. It's white and it's new, basically. Unless you had it, you washed it, you cleaned it. But it's generally we regard that as a new beged. So means a not new beged means it's been washed. So you have it's white, it's new, so it's not a problem with malabein. All you have is the issue of hachana. I don't have another one. It's my only Shabbos talus. It's not an issue of hachana because I'm folding it to the next Shabbos and there's no hachana mi Shabbos l'Shabbos. So Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said you can fold your Shabbos talus on the folds if I'm only going to use it next Shabbos. So I don't know if we rely on that on its own. I don't think that is a minigolem, but clearly if someone sees someone else folding the Shabbos towels kisiduro, there is a yesh al milismoch that is permissible, assuming it's a Shabbos towel. Because some people leave their towels in shul from Shabbos to Shabbos. They'll come during the week. I don't know. Or Yom Kippur, night. This is many people will do this. On Yom Kippur night, you wear a talus. So they'll fold their talus to stay there for the next day. Because the talus is new, it's white, so it's not a malabin issue, it's only a hachana issue, but I'm going to wear it tomorrow. So that the Mishnah says it's permissible. I mean, it's a white beggar. Yeah, and also, we don't really understand the distinction between white and other colors. So the Shmir Shabbos Kachasid, you treat them all the same. At least on the stripes. Anyway. This is only if the Shmir Shabbos Kachasid says this is only if they're... It's only a Malabin issue. If the beggar has some sort of normal Seder kippul. And when you put it that way, it gets hung, it fixes the beged. But let's say hanging something on a hook, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says, would never be a kippul issue. Or hanging something on a hanger, let's say you take your jacket and you put it on a hanger, it doesn't fix the beged or anything, you're just hanging it, putting it. That's not the kippul issue. The big discussion, or the practical discussion, not a big discussion, just an interesting discussion, is what about pants? Hanging up pants on a hanger for the next day. If you're hanging up for the next Shabbos or another week, you know, you hang it up for some other time. So then you have one could. I don't think it's hachana either. If it's mutter, it's probably not hachana because you're not doing anything. But is it a malabin issue to hang pants on the creases on a hanger or over a chair? So this is a discussion. In the Orach HaShabbos says he's yesh le histapek. Why? Because I'm not fixing the beged, I'm just not letting it get wrinkled. That's what the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says. I hang a beged. I just don't want it to get wrinkled. I'm not fixing it, but I don't want it to get wrinkled by slumping it on a chair. So that's not kippul. So to here, I don't think that the hanger doesn't straighten out the creases. So he thinks that should not be called kippul. But he leaves off as a suffix about it. But the Shevet Halevi has a tshuva about this. So he says he thinks that dry cleaning is called beged chadash. If you would only take it to be dry cleaned, it's called a beged chadash. Because it never gets washed. It's the creases are there from the dry cleaning. So it looks just like a new suit. You can't tell the difference between a dry cleaned suit and a new suit. And it's, we don't know the difference between black and white. We know all these differences. So even if it would be kippul, it might be mutter. But then he says all you do is hold the pants. If you hold the pants a certain way, it all of a sudden goes on the right place. If you hold them by the, you know, the feet, if you hold the pants by the feet, so it's very easy to fold. So he says, that's not, you're not doing anything. You're just holding the pants and laying them over something. So he thinks also that me'ikar adin, it's permissible to hang it on a hanger. Once it's permissible, I don't think it's hachana either. It's not hachana to hang up my jacket for Matzei Shabbos. It's not, it's not hachana to put my scarf away. It's not hachana. And so some people are machmir to put it on a chair for many years. I heard about this, but I don't see why the chair is any better than a hanger. A hanger is just a sophisticated chair, right? I mean, the shirt pants hanger is not just because it snaps in.
I thought the chumrah was to put your pants on a chair, not on the creases.
So there, if that's the chumrah, then I could hear that, and I would disagree with that because that's like taking a jab, meaning like the who has a tshuva about this? I think Diane Weiss has a tshuva about, you know, some people fold their jackets in a certain way so it shouldn't get wrinkled. When you put it over a chair, you know, if you put the one arm in the other one, she says, no, you're not letting it get wrinkled. That's not kippul. So to here, I don't think you fix the creases by putting them over a chair. The creases become more, so that's what Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa says. That's just hanging on a hanger. I don't want it to get creased. And anyway, it might be beged chadash. That's what Shmir Shabbos. That's what the Shevet Halevi says. It might be a beged chadash, and we don't know the distinction between black and white. So it might be mutter anyway.
Once you distinguish like that,
and it's so easy, you're not doing anything. It's just hold it by the feet, and all of a sudden, boom, it becomes folded. Yeah, once you distinguish.
Once you distinguish the thing, there's a difference between not wanting it.
But there are those who are machmir. I've heard about those for years. I've known about this.
Yeah. What's the distinction between not wanting it to get creased versus trying to keep it
right.
straight? So whenever you fold something, it's like...
Not true. It's not true. There's certain times when you fold things, you want the creases to be there.
I put my sweater back in the drawer Friday night after I wear it. So
right.
I just don't want it to slump around my room so it gets all creased up. But I'm not like straightening it out and like keep what they're talking about.
Right. So would that be permissible?
You leave it on your chair in a ball. You come back once the shower, it's all...
Right.
So the only reason you're doing it is so it doesn't get creased, but you want it to stay the same as it is. You're not doing
it... So that's why you fold it? That's the head to fold it on the,
so
on the other way.
Even folding it in the creases?
Even folding it on... No, but that sharpens the crease. A talus, for sure. When you fold it, the creases become... Old talus. Then I have an old talus. The creases are very... strong because they've been folded so many
only
times.
Things that don't have defined creases, you'll make the distinction and say trying to prevent it from getting creased versus
right. I
my
guess
clothes
so.
Don't have besides.
Listen, pants. Shirt that has a crease. It's there's a or sweaters even that sometimes. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But if you hang it on a hanger, you're not doing anything. Then you just it's like hanging on a hook. It's not. So I don't think a hanger is just a sophisticated hook. So. One last issue that is talks about is with regards to a Mishnah in Shabbos that if a person's kelim get wet, he's allowed to hang them out to dry, but lo keneged ha'am. You can't do it where people can see that you hung them out. Why? Because it might be if people would suspect you that you washed it on Shabbos, and now that I'm hanging it out, they'll think that I washed it. Even though I didn't wash it, it got wet some other way, you can't hang it out keneged ha'am. And the Gemara quotes him, Rav, that this is also because, I'm sorry, right. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara quotes him, Rav, what are you talking about? Kol masha asu chacham b'nei mar sa'ayin, afil b'chadrei chadorim is asur. How can you distinguish between keneged ha'am and in my house, if it's asur mishum mar sa'ayin, afil b'chadrei chadorim is asur? So the Gemara says, machlokes ha'tanoim, and we generally assume that we're machmer like Rav, it's machlokes b'shonim too, but we're machmer like Rav, that kol masha asu chacham mishum mar sa'ayin is asur afil b'chadrei chadorim. So you can't hang anything out, even in your house, to dry. Mishum marisayin. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tosefta that even if there's a little bit of water, Shulchan Aruch sif mem zayin, it doesn't mean it's sopping wet. Even if there's a little bit of water, you can't hang it out to dry because people will think you washed it. And even a little bit of water, there's a issur of washing. Yeah.
Is the pshat that there because people might see inside also is like a zera to
it's a low plug.
It's a low plug.
It's a low plug. It's a zera low plug. If we had time, I would elaborate more. But
so if you have cloth jackets or coats to get wet, you should hang them like in the bathroom over the.
One second. Excellent. So if it's because people will think I washed it, and even if there's a little bit of water that would clearly indicate that I didn't wash it, but since if I would put that little bit of water there, it would be usher. So the Shmir Shabbos Kuchas along those lines quotes from a Ben Ishchai. Then even if there's no water there at all, but I hang it out on the clothesline, people will think I washed it, even if it's totally dry. So you can't hang any clothes out to dry, even if they're dry already. That's the Ben Ishchai. Because people will think you washed it. I don't think we go that far. It has to be wet, but the Mishnah Berurah is machmer that even if it's a little wet, there'd be an issur of hanging out begadim to dry. If, this is one important thing, halacha l'maaseh, Shmir Shabbos Kuchas says if I just walked in from a rainstorm, I can hang out my coat to dry, because everyone knows that it's raining outside. Nobody's going to think that I was washed it. But if it's not rain, it's not pouring rain, then you might have an issue. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim, and he explains this in the Shaar Tzion as well, that this is only if it's derech shticha. I hung it out in a place where I hang out clothes that I've washed. If I don't hang, I'm not hanging it out in a place where I normally wash clothes, that's permitted. Let's say I take my shirt, it's sopping wet, and I hang it in my closet. That's not where I hang my shirt to dry, so that would be permissible. So therefore, I can hang up the Shmir Shabbos Kuchas says I can hang up a towel on the towel, even if it's sopping wet, I can hang it up on the towel rack if that's where I normally leave my towel. But then he has a suffix, and he says like this. He says he's mistopic. What if I always leave my towel on the towel rack to dry? So that might be called derech shticha. So perhaps it should be usher to leave the towel there to dry. So therefore, he recommends if you're going to dry your hands on a towel, to dry them while they're on the rack, not to take the towel off, dry them, and put it back on the rack, because then I might have a problem of hatos kvisa. This is all the Shmir Shabbos. So you should dry your hands on the rack, you're much safer off. But I think, Ufiani is dead, I didn't have a chance to do my due diligence with the Rewilig and the other shelter, but I think that that's only talking about that I would take it out of the washing machine. The minute I take my towel out of the washing machine, I put it on the rack in my bathroom to dry. But if no, I put it in the dryer, and even if it's not dry enough, I'll hang it in the laundry room. And only when it's dry, bone dry, then I bring it up to the bathroom, nobody's going to think that if I have a damp towel in my bathroom, I washed it. Everyone's going to know it's because we washed our hands and then put it on the towel. So I think the whole discussion is only if, as the Shmir Shabbos, I think this is what the Shmir Shabbos Kochazim means, is that if I always leave it in the bathroom, dahainu, I wash it in the sink. They're talking about people who wash clothes in the sink. I wash it in the sink, and then I just, instead of putting my towel in the dryer, in Eretz Yisrael, it's very hot, so people more want to dry things outside. So they, instead of putting it outside, I just put it on the rack in the bathroom. The bathroom is also hot. But I don't think it means that you dry it in a dryer and then... So I'm not so sure that this chumrah makes sense in our contemporary setting. Anyway, okay, Rabbi Yisrael concludes.